Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
I just wanna be 8 days a week.
Welcome in to another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers. You've heard of us. We're a national brand. We are playing for a national championship. When this show drops on Monday, we will be hours away from what may be our destiny, winning another national title. I like to be balanced, so I have someone that is a co-host of the show. His school didn't win a bowl game until we won a national title. Welcome him in. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here, and what a start to 2019. That's what it is, yeah. Just 19. Gamecock basketball, women's, men. We just don't lose anymore. Conference perfection right now for both school, for both teams.
Yeah.
So it's good to be a Gamecock. Always good to be a Gamecock. And of course, baseball season is right around the corner. The Mecca will be hopping. It's a great time to be a Gamecock. I have no idea what you're talking about tomorrow night. I have no clue what goes on tomorrow night.
That's because your football, the biggest sports story in the country, is the national championship. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. It is the biggest sports story. Simple as that. Mike joins us. He is in San Francisco.
Hey! Live feed.
He's on site.
Positive Mike is a contributor to the show.
Yep.
Positive Mike, what's the feel down there right now? Like, if you walk in the city of San Francisco, does anyone know there's a college football game tomorrow night?
Yeah. Will you stop? Stop. Let's thank our patrons of the show. Let's take a drink. The czar of Clemson sports, Thomas Dana Young, Kaylee Wandling, Keith Harrelson, Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkin. She's watching us tonight from Pigeon Forge. And Jeff Pritchett, he's also watching us on Facebook Live. If you're listening to this later on in the podcast, which, by the way, our latest down listeners, I don't know if I told you this or not, Mike. We're going to get into you running some listeners off, but according to our new podcast report that I got a couple days ago, there are people listening to this show in Australia and London. So shout out to those people listening to the show there. We're becoming a worldwide brand here, despite the fact that the comrade is scaring off listeners. Positive Mike says there's a lot of orange down in San Jose, so I think that stadium's going to be oranged out.
Okay, on a serious note, if you could, in your busy schedule there, I know you got a lot going on, if you could drive by AT&T Park, just snap a picture and post it, it'd be great. On my bucket list, I want to go watch the baseball game at that ballpark. I love watching it on TV. So if you get a chance, you know, before you leave, you know, AT&T ballparks, the outside, get a little picture, post on the Robert Comrade Show page. That'd be sweet, though. I want to go out there for a baseball game at some point in my life.
Well, there you go. But thanks to our patrons, let's also thank our sponsors, including Wolverine Studios. You can be the GM at Wolverine Studios. It's so great. Pro football, pro basketball, pro golf, college football, college baseball. You can be the general manager of each one. So if you want to build your own team, the best sports simulation game is Wolverine Studios. I tell you what, the comrade's working with, I think, the 1988 Charlotte Hornets, he tweeted about the other day.
Yeah. I'm thinking I saw the little anniversary. It's the anniversary year for the Hornets, and that was kind of a fun time. That team stunk, but they got to be really good at one point, but never could quite cross over into title land. So I thought about taking them over, Muggsy Bogues, Tribuca, and seeing if I could take over the Hornets and make an NBA champion out of them.
Look, go and download the game at WolverineStudios.com. You can get a free demo. Simple as that. Go and check it out. Gary has done a great job with this. I'm going to have an interview I'm going to schedule with him as soon as the national championship wraps, and at my real job I get a little bit of leeway there. But thanks to him for sponsoring the show. But go and use the promo code COMRAD and save 15% off your purchase. Pro football, college basketball, it's all right there. WolverineStudios.com. 15% off, use the promo code COMRAD. Positive Mike says there's a lot of orange there, and he may get a picture of that park for you on Tuesday. That's one of the things about this show.
Nice.
We're not Clemson fans anyway. We're extending ourselves across the aisle. The government needs to listen like we do. And he's trying to make a hated Gamecock happy by going and taking a picture of this big ballpark there. Make sure it has a big tiger paw, hold up a tiger paw hat or something there, Positive Mike. That would be great.
Well, I'm sure if they win tomorrow night and he goes there Tuesday, it'll be a picture of the park with him, you know, wearing some national championship paraphernalia in the picture too.
That will slow down. You would be doing the same thing.
I would be humble if my team won. Humble.
Oh God, shut up.
I would barely mention it. Barely.
You're so stupid.
I would probably make one post as congratulations to my Gamecocks for getting it done, and I'd probably move on to the next important season. That's how I don't harp on things.
Oh,
like some people do. I don't harp.
Here we go. By the way, Callaway's Bar and Grill, I'm doing a little pregame show there tomorrow night, or it'd be Monday night when you hear this. So right before the game, about 6:30, I will start, and I will have everything you need to know about the national championship game condensed into about a 45-minute to an hour show at Callaway's that night. You can also stick around, have some dinner, watch the game on their bevy of TVs. It's going to be great. Callaway's turns orange tomorrow night. If you want to come and join us, it's going to be great. I've got some stuff I'm going to give away. It's going to be really cool at Callaway's tomorrow night out in West Columbia. You might as well come out and watch the game. They've got all the great food there. It's on Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart, right next to Sonic. Come by and check us out. Show will start at 6:30 tomorrow night, as I'll do a little pregame. I have comments from Coach Sweeney, Coach Saban, Trevor Lawrence, all kinds of good stuff as we break down the national championship game right before it kicks off tomorrow night at Callaway's. All right, and finally, DNC Trucking and Transport. Mike reads these every week. It's the No Spin segment with the Comrade. Read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson won a national title before South Carolina won a bowl game. South Carolina has 8 total wins in the last years against teams with a winning record. Clemson has 10 this season. We are also the only Power 5 team that was shut out in the bowl season. I'll win on Monday, and Clemson will be my national champion. As you can see, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. Yeah, good stuff there. Lisa, I'll stream some of that show tomorrow night. I got a message from Mike Muse asking me to do that show, and I know the Comrade's not going to come for an Orange Fest. He's not going to come up there and sit with me for an Orange Fest, so I didn't even bother asking him if he would go.
Plus, we got basketball practice tomorrow night with my son. So that's the thing. So I'll be doing that, coming home, and I'll put the game on probably. I'm real superstitious when it comes to Clemson playing right. National title games. I messed up 2 years ago and fell asleep. I played one. Thank you. You're welcome. But I'm not falling asleep tomorrow night. I'm going to make sure I do what I did a couple of years ago in the first game, in which I had to change TVs, change spots. I went to the gym for a little while, and that was the key to the comeback that Bama went on. So we're going to mix things up. I'm going to change what's working. So no chance.
Well, speaking of that, I've gotten several messages from people, and this is not an exaggeration here. They are turning off the show because of the way that you're acting right now. You are causing us to lose some listeners. So I thought, instead of out, I thought I would just give you the opportunity to, I don't know, explain yourself. Do you care? Are you going to try to be a better comrade as we get into the new year? Or are you just so butthurt that Will Muschamp is a disaster that you're just going to continue to be an ass?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, those people have not stopped listening. They're listening right now. Right now, recording the podcast, they're listening. Because everyone who says they're going to stop, they don't listen. They don't stop listening. It's kind of like the Howard Stern thing, you know? Remember that Howard Stern thing? Watch Private Parts. They did a study, and the people who listened to him most, the ones who hated him, like they put it on there.
Mike says that, why should it matter? Your team is not there. You're nothing but a hater. Would you consider yourself to be a hater, sir?
No, I'm a Gamecock. And so I don't root for Clemson. I'm sorry. I don't, like, you know, and if the roles were reversed, a lot of you probably wouldn't even be college football fans. But if the roles were reversed and you were actually a 16er or an 18er, you would be rooting against us too. And I know this because when our college baseball team was making runs through Omaha, the actual true Clemson fans were on Twitter becoming big fans whoever we played. And when Arizona knocked us off in year three to deny us a three-peat, which we should have won that damn series. God, that pissed me off. Anyway, Arizona, Wildcat Nation, I mean, Tigers were just hooping. So it's the same thing. It's fine. But just don't act like, you know, you would be, we wouldn't do that. You guys do that. Now, a lot of you are brand-new Clemson fans. You jumped on board in 2016, and that's fine. But the diehard ones feel the same way, so it's fine.
Mike says, believe me, it ain't you I'm listening to, buddy. Go Tigers. Yeah, go Tigers to you, sir.
Mike, you listen.
Go
you hear
Tigers
everything
to you,
I say.
Sir.
You probably keep a diary. Today, the comrades are the following.
Okay. I highly doubt that. There are some people that, I mean, I've gotten instant messages from. And one of them was, Rob, your radio career is taking off. You need to get rid of this deadbeat Russian. Your thoughts on that?
Once again, a person who probably listens to every single show we do. And I'm upset right now. Here's my theory real quick, okay? And Clemson has had a really good run, okay? The Fear Four, I mean, you guys all know, trust me, you send these messages to me all the time too. Fourth year in the playoffs, third year professional title. We've beaten you 5 years in a row in football. We've beaten you now 3 years in a row in basketball. We've beaten you, you know, years in baseball. Okay, and so what happens is the brand new fans who jumped on Clemson bandwagon 2 years ago never face adversity. The diehard Clemson fans forgot what adversity feels like. And so whenever
you need to slow down with that.
Okay.
Let's make sure that we understand. You need to slow down with that.
As a
Clemson fan, I know what adversity is. I know what it is to go to Duke and get my ass hammered the other night. I know what adversity is. You need to slow that back a little bit.
You haven't felt it in a while, though, okay? Now, that's
what are you talking about? We just got embarrassed on national TV last night.
When I say Clemson fans, I'm not really talking about you so much because you're in the 1% that has a brain, okay? So I'm talking about the average Clemson fan, okay? And so what happens is things have gone so well, and I've seen this happen before, that any...
Are you saying things are just going well in football? Is that what you're saying?
Most of your fan base, let's be honest now, thinks Clemson plays one sport. Okay? If you said that the Clemson basketball team has a game tonight, they would not even know. I mean, like, so, but seriously, though, even the ones who follow the main sports, okay? Your basketball team hasn't been great. They went to Sweet 16 last year, but they've been beating us, and that's what you guys care about. And your baseball team hasn't done squat in June, which has been beating us. My point is that you guys are riding so high right now that any slight or perceived slight against Clemson sends you guys into a tizzy. I've seen it where an ESPN commentator happened to talk about something with great programs and didn't mention Clemson or didn't give Clemson enough time, and people went on a rant about that. Okay? Let alone when I go ahead and tweak people on our Facebook page with stats, then you guys get really upset. Like, here's my thing. If I were you right now, if I were, let's turn this around. Say the Gamecocks were in their four straight playoffs playing for the third national title, okay? And we'd be in the final row. There is nothing you could say to me on social media that would get me mad. Nothing. Like, there's nothing you say to me now that would get me mad. The Gamecocks have been horrible, and still. But I can't imagine anything upsetting me if I was in the roles reversed. Yet your fan base, and you will admit this, and I'm going to admit it on the air right now, because, you know, but she was going to see you off the air, that your fan base is very sensitive. Very sensitive. I mean, I posted something earlier today, just a little joke. I said, throwback Sunday, on this date, 1904, Clemson beat Alabama 25-0, which is true. And then when I lose 13 straight to Bama and 14 the last 15, I go, this post is brought to you by Offstarine. It's literally found in everything. No. Okay? Harmless.
Hold on.
Harmless.
That's not harmless. You are trying to troll people.
First of all, what's bad? First of all, the facts are correct, right? Everything is correct. You can look it up. And the Offstarine, all I'm doing is I'm quoting your own coach. Your own coach said that. Don't get mad at me.
Will you slow down? What I'm trying to say to you.
I know it sounds dumb, shit. But your own coach said that. Now, if your coach apologizes,
Lisa, and says, Cheez-Its.
What I said was stupid, and it's not true. Now, I'm just quoting your own coach. So, and people got mad at that. Oh, it's just stupid. You think it's funny? I go, actually, yeah, I do think it's funny. But, you know, so that's kind of what I do. So little things like that get your fan base so upset.
Well,
you're playing for tomorrow. Why are you so upset?
That is the freaking point, though. Why would you post something like that when, especially in football, you've gotten your ass handed to you? I mean, it's not even close. Why would you do that? Why would you post that?
Why not?
Because maybe you should have a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of Southern gentleman in you, even though you are a carpetbagger. You are a carpetbagger. Come on now. We've established that in podcasts from the past.
You are
a carpetbagger. You married a beautiful woman from the South. You are nothing but a carpetbagger. That is what you are.
Well, first of all, what is the tagline of this podcast? Read it to me. What's the tagline of this?
I'm not reading anything to you. You don't pay me enough to read to you.
The podcast that divides the Pimento State. Is that what the podcast is?
It should be Rob corrects a carpetbagger.
It's not a kumbaya. Let me hold your hand and praise Clemson. I give Clemson. Listen, we get into real talk in this podcast. When we start breaking down games, I give Clemson their due all the time, okay? Now, the part of the show, I'm going to give you a little jab.
Bullshit.
I don't really jab. I don't jab. First of all, during the podcast, I don't really do a lot of my little triggering things, okay? Okay, I don't.
That's because I'll sling that shit back at you.
During the actual podcast, I don't do, you know, that whole thing. But I give Clemson the credit to do. Now, I'll call you out, too. I'll call you out when your coach says dumb things like Osterine's literally found everything. No, it's not. Okay? Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to tweak online all the time. That's part of the podcast. So if the Clemson fans don't like that, go tune in to TigerNet.com, and you can read William Quackenbush, give Dabo Sweeney massages on his driveway after a basketball game. That's fine. Okay.
All I'm saying to you is that if you're going to poke, maybe you should have something to back it up besides Alabama. Clemson played Alabama, lost 13 in a row to them. Why don't you talk about and put stuff with just your team? How about that?
I can't. I have been before. My posts vary from all kinds of things, you know. They vary all the time. I'm just putting some Bama things on there because you guys play them coming tomorrow night. So it's just little things.
Well.
And by the way, before you get too high and mighty here, I will recall somebody I know who changed the cover of one of our Facebook groups to a Virginia helmet the other day. So don't act like you're, I'm above it all.
I'm not above anything.
thing. Okay, so like you do. That's
all right. Hold on. Do you have instant messages where people are saying I'm not listening to your show because of Rob?
Well, no, because first of all,
exactly,
Gamecock fans don't have that sensitivity. Gamecock fans are used to adversity.
No,
okay,
Gamecock fans have checked out.
They don't do that. Look, your fan base is very soft.
That's so ridiculous.
You have a
Gamecock fans checked out after the Georgia game. I got hate mail before the Georgia game with, we're beating Georgia, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I got like five or six of those, even though I point blank said on the air here, there's no chance you're beating Georgia. But I got about eight messages saying, you're going to look stupid when it comes back and we beat Georgia. So, of course, I saved all those messages, and I responded to each one of them on Twitter. And you know what I got back?
Blocks. That was pretty tacky.
Blocks.
That's rubbing it in right there.
What?
I was doing the same thing. But
you need to really slow down. That is a old school comrade move there. I don't even want to hear your crap on that. I really don't.
Was being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I know, that's right. Old school. That's exactly what I would do. But don't act like you do the same thing. The difference is that your team is winning. So what Cubs fans want right now is our team is winning, and when they tell me online all the time, you shouldn't say a thing about us. Because
it's a
trash talk room. So the trash talk room should be, so when we win five in a row, we created the room, so that means, sorry, none of you guys can talk. We've beaten you. Okay? Like, no, you can't be, you know.
So Mike's on fire tonight.
And then they say this. Here's what I hear. Let me tell you, too. Clemson fan goes, listen, if my team was like your team, I wouldn't even be in this room. Okay? Exactly. Because you have the mentality of the front runner. I'm only going to show up if my team's doing well in trash talk. If my team does bad, I'm going to log off the group and not interact. So I don't do that.
My response to that is twofold. One, you should stick around regardless, but why poke the bear? That's kind of stupid.
I like poking the bear.
Yeah,
I'm a bear poker.
You kind of look like a bear.
And I'm a BP.
Oh, God. Mike is on fire saying, hey, buddy, you can never take it like a man. You always have an excuse. He's referring to you, sir. Okay.
And
your thoughts on that?
Mike, thanks for continuing to listen to the show.
Your thoughts on me calling you a carpetbagger?
I've been down here now longer than up north.
No, you're a carpetbagger. You were born up there, and you married a sweet Southern belle, who, by the way, you outkicked your coverage, and now you just won't leave.
You're a carpetbagger. This is home. Listen, you know, I came down here. I love Columbia, by the way. Like, Columbia is, like, people will make fun of Columbia. And, like, to me, Columbia, like, Jane, my wife, will make comments sometimes about moving, like, going to the beach. We should move to the beach or moving, you know, to Greenville. And I just kind of give her a look like, well, we're not leaving Columbia. This is the greatest place in the world. Why would we want to leave? You know?
Todd says, once a Yankee, always a Yankee. Yes, sir. I agree with you on that. But we have things we're going to get into this evening, but I wanted to bring that up this evening because there are a lot of people that hate you right now, and I don't know why.
Good.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm doing a good job. The whole thing, they're going to stop listening is not true. They're going to listen more. They're listening right now. Hello, everybody who's complaining to Rob. Hello.
Well, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. If you're listening and you hate the comrade, feel free to message him at the Pesky Polo on Twitter, or go to the Robin Comrade Facebook page and just let the comrade know that you hate him. Let him know there. Maybe if he sees it from a different perspective, maybe he'll change a little bit. I don't know.
I think we could sell those for community options and like put that charity over the top. Like, oh, your greatest revenue year ever.
Lisa says, there are a lot of bears here in Tennessee. I'm getting a real bear for you to poke. Okay. Thomas says, what's great about Colombia? I live in Colombia. I like Colombia. So
it's great, Colombia. Colombia's great.
I've been here forever. Mike says, you're really not making any sense. Dabo loves the comrade in Jesus' name. I don't know what Thomas is talking about.
Dabo would hate me.
You know what?
That's a tough question.
Look, I honestly don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I really don't. Just throwing that out there. All right, side note here. We're going to do some basketball talk in a minute. Comrade lies on the shirt. Oh, my God.
It'd be a great shirt.
By the way, we've added something to our... whenever you win one of our contests, Eddie Hicks, who has his own screen printing shop in Tennessee, is going to print us up a championship t-shirt. So you will have, in addition to the pot, a shirt that says you are a champion of whatever one you won the thing for. If you win it more than once, I'm going to have him put HOF on the side for Hall of Famer, which tomorrow night when I win, I will be the first inducted into the Hall of Fame. Before you get a t-shirt, it does not count. So I will be the charter member of the podcast Hall of Fame. The Robin Comrade Hall of Fame.
I'm not happy about this either. Like, the shirt looks... You sent me a shirt the other day, and I kind of go, that's good. And you go, yeah, by the way, we're not gonna give you a shirt for the two that you won, because that's like, we're not going to retroact it.
Nope, we're not going retroactive. That's kind of messed up. Nope.
Because that's kind of messed up. That's
win something. Nope. That's how that works.
I'm the Hall of Fame. I'm the only one in the Hall of Fame right now. And if Bama wins tomorrow
Slow down. Do you have a Hall of Fame t-shirt? It's like a Hall of Fame jacket from a Canton. Do you have one?
I will make my own.
Then shut up.
Jacket.
You don't have one.
I'll make it like
the official screen printer of the Robin Comrade Show is Eddie Hicks. He prints out the Hall of Fame jackets, Hall of Fame t-shirts, all of that. I am the only one that will have one if Clemson wins tomorrow night.
My buddies from DX would say,
suck it. Simple
kind of like
that.
Deacon Jones. You know what Deacon Jones is, right?
Are you really bringing that up to me like I'm some doofus?
I'm just making sure.
I know who the hell Deacon Jones is.
Deacon Jones played at a time before they counted sacks as a stat. Okay, and so he's not the all-time sack leader because it wasn't an official stat. So people kind of guess what he had, but he doesn't get credit because it wasn't really a number for him, okay? Kind of like Deacon Jones.
Yeah, but how
I won
did,
two
how did,
before I started getting out t-shirts.
But how did,
but like, I don't give
how
any credit
did
for
him. Deacon Jones get into the Hall of Fame? He had to go through the committee, through the Legends Committee, and that's how he got in.
Yes.
By the way, the Legends Committee for the Robin Comrade Hall of Fame are myself, Mark McCurry, our famous intern in Texas, and Eddie Hicks. If the three of us determine that you are going into the Hall of Fame, then you will get into the Hall of Fame. Until then, start winning something, and then we'll go from there. So tomorrow night, the first inductee into the Hall of Fame will be Rob Sanders. We need to make a Hall of Fame page on the Robin Comrade Show website with just Rob Sanders in it. Sucks to be you. Yep.
No, it doesn't. We need to get. I think we need to get Mike Wallace, a therapist, out there. He seems really upset.
I think Mike's just spitting facts. The show would be better if you get rid of this bomb.
I just don't. I mean, if Clemson loses tomorrow, I'm going to be really worried about him. I'm going to have to send over a well check.
Do you have Bama Coot shirt ready for tomorrow? Because I know you're a big Alabama fan tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night I am. I'm not a bear. I hate. First of all, let me get something straight. I hate Alabama.
No, you don't.
I hate Nick Saban. But I like where it plays Clemson, so there. But speaking of Nick Saban, by the way, real quick, I'm reading this book right now, and I know a lot of you don't read books, but I do. I like reading books. And
are you implying that you're more intelligent than I am? Because I don't think so.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people on here watching. But Mike Wallace hasn't read a book in years, I can tell. So
holy
the
shit.
Book is called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Coach. I've heard of this. A new book by Ian O'Connor, a really good writer. And it's an unauthorized kind of biography of Bill Belichick. And so Bill Belichick wouldn't talk to him. Bill Belichick actually went and told all his friends don't talk to them. And so Ian O'Connor had to kind of talk to people off the record a lot of times. Anyway, it's an unbelievable story. It goes from the time he's born by his father and so forth. So right now I'm up to 94. And if you remember, people forget this too, his Cleveland job, when he was the Cleveland Browns coach, he was the head coach, and Nick Saban was his defensive coordinator, okay? And talk about the coaching staff right there. And so just the Cleveland Browns chapters are, like, worth the whole book about Belichick and Saban and just kind of how the relationship was, how they were with players. It's, like, a really good read. And I haven't even got to the stuff with the Patriots stuff. But
did you stay in the lines when you were coloring it?
I don't color books. I actually read, okay?
Ryan Henderson with the line of the night, Comrade colors in his books, and Todd comes back with, did it come with crayons?
No.
Zing!
But check the book out. Really good, Saban and Belichick. It's amazing that the Browns' last playoff win was with Belichick and Saban as their coaches. So two of the best coaches in football history, you can argue, okay? The Browns need the two best coaches ever to help win one playoff game. That's the last playoff win for Dave Sanders, who's a big Browns fan. But it's a really good book, and I told you I haven't even got to the quote unquote main stuff that you buy the book for, the whole Patriots and Jets stuff that he left the job, and the book's supposed to get the details about him and Brady and their relationship, how it's kind of deteriorating over the years. But just the whole Cleveland Browns area, him and Bernie Kosar, and the amazing thing too, real quick, that makes this whole book review. But Bill Belichick was a Division III football player and a good lacrosse player. He was known for lacrosse playing, and when he was in the league for the Giants, the players wouldn't listen to him because they viewed him as a lacrosse player, a guy never played in the NFL. I mean, the NFL players kind of, you know, want some of their coaches to be NFL players at one point. And so he had to deal with that his whole career. And in Cleveland especially, Bernie Kosar hated him. Bernie Kosar wouldn't listen to him because he said, I'm not listening to a lacrosse player tell me how to play quarterback. And Bernie Kosar would change plays, call his own plays, draw plays up in the dirt, and piss Belichick off. Belichick finally cut him. And the Cleveland loved Bernie Kosar, and that's where the whole Cleveland-Belichick kind of relationship went downhill. But it's really fascinating to see just how disrespected he was and how no one believed in him. And, of course, now he still has the greatest coach ever, NFL. But at that time, he was just known as a lacrosse guy who didn't know football. So it's a really good book.
Yeah, well, there you go. Book time with the comrade. By the way, before we get into our national championship game preview here, there is a talk that Nick Saban's on the top of the list for a couple of NFL jobs. I wanted to talk about that for a quick second. My thing with that is, why would you hire Nick Saban? Nick Saban is 68 years old, and I don't give a damn what he did in college. He's 68 years old. The average life expectancy for a male in the United States of America is 74 and a half. So, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. It is pretty crazy with people saying, oh, well, we should hire Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban, it wouldn't surprise me if he won tomorrow night, if it was like, all right, I'm done. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he loses tomorrow night.
I think he is.
Well, if he loses tomorrow night, I think that he'll come back and try to win and go out a winner. But I honestly think that hiring Nick Saban is an absolute joke. And I don't know. Like I had him linked to the Jets and a couple of other teams. Look, if you're an NFL general manager, the coaches you should be looking for are young offensive minded coaches or veteran defensive coaches that are under the age of 55. Okay? He's 68 years old. Yeah. He's not going to be coaching there for 10 years. You're not putting a good program at that front. It's just not happening.
Well, I think he's done it for tomorrow night, win or lose. I just think at a certain point, it gets to a point now where they're expected to win every year. And And I think at a certain point he kind of gets old, and I think he does want to go back to the NFL and kind of prove he can win there, because he went there one time, didn't win. And I think he realized, too, in the NFL you need a quarterback, and he didn't have a quarterback. And so the jobs are open right now are jobs to have quarterbacks. The Browns to Baker Mayfield looks like he's the real deal. The Jets have Sam Darnold, who, you know, struggled a little bit this year. He looks like he's going to be okay. I'm not sure why an NFL team would hire him. As you said, the things you brought out there. However, the one team I think that would hire him is the Jets, just because the Jets have this mentality. They're kind of like the New York Mets in baseball, that they're always trying to get out of the Giants' shadow. The Mets are always trying to get out of the Yankees' shadow. Both of those organizations try to win, or try to win the fan base. Even though Saban wouldn't be as smart, you said, in terms of those reasons you gave, it would create a buzz in New York for the Jets, and it would knock the Giants off the front page. And I could see the Jets doing that. I can see Nick Saban wanting to go somewhere where he has a quarterback in place. And so I think that could be the perfect marriage right there. I can see that happening right there, and doing that for 5 years. I think he's done it for tomorrow night.
So Nick Saban's making $8.3 million this year. Makes him the highest paid coach in football. I'm trying to see when he's signed through. Oh, yeah. 2019 season, he'll make $8.7 million. $800,000 contract, completion payments through the 2021 and 2020 seasons. So he's locked up there at Alabama. I don't think that's a good hire for a coach, in my opinion. And it's not that Nick Saban can't coach. I just don't think that the way that he coaches in college will probably go over in the NFL. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I think he'll, you know, he has that respect thing coming in with the players is kind of the first thing. It's a little bit different. I think he learned in Miami, though, you need to have a quarterback. You can't just recruit people. I mean, it's not like college. You go and get, you know, 15 five-star guys, and you're good. But I think he wants to prove he can coach there. I mean, I think he wants to. I mean, he was in Cleveland for a long time, and he was a real successful defensive coordinator for the Browns. The Browns' defense are really good, and he was good at this job. I'm reading that chapter right now about just, you know, how much Belichick loved him. I mean, they didn't get along all the time personal-wise. But in terms of how much respect Belichick had for him, for how good he was at his job, and Belichick viewed him as the most valuable piece of his defense, and so he's real good at what he does, and so I can see him wanting to go back there and prove that he doesn't need, you know, the Bama program, you know, and all that comes with it to win, that he can go to a franchise like the Jets, and the Jets are a damn mess. Haven't won a Super Bowl since 68 and make them contenders. So I could see why he wanted to do it. I can see why the Jets would do it, because the Jets were in the front page. I don't see why the Browns would not hire him, even though that'd be an interesting thing because he was there. Because, you know, but I mean, that could happen too. So I think he's done for this year. I think he's gone.
All right. So pivoting to the national championship game kicking off tonight. You know, I thought we'd do a little bit of a breakdown for this before we get out of here this evening. A couple of things that are interesting to me on this front. When Clemson has the ball, this number kind of came out and hit me in the face. The Tigers lead the nation in rushing between the tackles, averaging nearly 7.5 yards per carry. Now, for the season, Clemson gave up only 4 sacks from pass rushers coming up the middle. Now, that sounds really good, but I don't think that Clemson's seen somebody like the young man Quinnen Williams, who is a top 5 NFL draft pick. I do think that Clemson has some, not really a weakness, but if you had to say a soft spot on the offensive line, sometimes they can get beat on the edge. In fact, Mitch Hyatt gave up 2 sacks, I think, this season, which is more than he gave up in his entire career. But it's just, It's interesting. That's one thing with Clemson trying to run the ball up the gut. If Clemson's able to get 7.5 yards a carry tomorrow night through in between the tackles, they're going to win by 30 points. I don't give a damn. If you get 7.5 yards a carry against anybody with Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback, you're going to blow some people out. It's not going to happen against Alabama. I'm not sitting here and blowing the orange whistle here. But it is interesting that that's the Tigers' numbers this season, especially up the middle. I think that's an area where Clemson's going to have to be on point if they want to control the game a little bit. And the best way to beat this this young man, Tua Tagovailoa, there we go, is to keep his butt on the sideline. If he's on the sideline, it's going to make it a lot easier for Clemson to pick up a win tomorrow night. Mike, your thoughts on that?
Well, same idea. I mean, the reason why you struggled last year, I mean, I know people want to blame Kelly Bryant, and part of the problem was Kelly Bryant and the ability to search the field. Other part was Kelly Bryant couldn't, you know, had no time. And he had those two turnovers there, the pick. Was it two pick sixes you guys had last year? Or
it was
just the one?
No, there was a pick and a fumble. Okay. One of them was returned. But if you watch that game, I went back and rewatched some of that game from last year. Clemson was in the game until the third quarter. They finally just kept peppering Kelly Bryant. And he made a mental mistake and had the fumble that was returned. And that was the ball game. If Clemson has that happen to them tomorrow night where they make a dumb mistake, a fumble that turns into a touchdown, it's not going to be easy. Clemson's going to have to play a flawless game, in my opinion.
And that's the thing, too, we haven't seen. We really haven't seen Trevor Lawrence get pressured.
Trevor Lawrence has four interceptions on the season. I mean, it's, you know, he has been that guy. So he's taken very good care of the ball.
I know Mississippi State. Texas A&M game. They got to him a little bit pressure wise, and he didn't play as well. Of course, that's early in the year, early in his career. And really, no other game he really got pressured. I mean, I know he got hit hard in the Syracuse game. That wasn't really pressure. That was just him trying to make a play out of the pocket there. So I'm curious if Bama can get pressure like they did against Kelly Bryant, if he will make some mistakes. Because one thing he hasn't done, he doesn't really throw the ball where a defense can make a play on it. I mean, his passes are pretty – if he throws a bad pass, he throws it where it's going to be incomplete. Which is what you want for your quarterback, you know, and but I'm wondering
he doesn't
do that, but part of that though too is, you know, he has had a ton of time. I mean, the Gamecock game, he had all day to throw the ball. In most games I've seen him play, he's had all day to throw the ball. So I mean, still, there's quarterbacks who make dumb plays when they have all the time in the world. So I give him a ton of credit. I'm just wondering if there is that one mistake he makes with pressure. And another question is, too, for your defense, is can you guys get to Tua without blitzing?
Yeah, rushing three guys.
If you have to blitz whatever. To get to him, that could be some problems.
Well, I can understand that. So, big thing, though, for Alabama, will Christian Miller get to play? He remains questionable is the term that I've got. From several different folks. Will he play? He kind of limped off the game against Oklahoma. Miller is, of course, Corey Miller's son. If you're in Columbia, you know who Corey Miller is. Former Gamecock that played for the Giants and the Vikings. But anyway, Corey Miller's son, Christian. Will he be able to play? He's got an injured hamstring. He hasn't participated in an individual drills. If you look at Nick Saban's history, if you don't practice, you don't really play. I mean, it's as simple as that. He is a fifth-year senior. On the season, though, I'm trying to pull his numbers. I've got him right here. He's got 36 tackles, 11.5 tackles for loss, and 8.5 sacks, and a team-high 12 quarterback hurries. And you lose that, Alabama is already without two outside linebackers, Terrell Lewis and Christopher Allen. So the Alabama is, they've got some players, but they're going to be not as much depth as they would normally have. And I think if Clemson's tempo may get to them in the third, late in the third, early in the fourth, and it may cause them to be just tired. And I think that that's when the running game and the little pop passes and stuff like that that Clemson runs, the little screens, the little slants to Hunter Renfrow, that's when that's going to make the big difference, in my opinion, especially as thin as the Alabama game, as the Alabama line is. Ryan has a big question about how big is the loss of Dexter Lawrence? Yeah, he says Huggins did well against Notre Dame. Look, I've made a lot of Clemson fans angry with this. I don't think Dexter Lawrence should have gone to the game as well as the other two guys. He should not be on the plane. If you failed a drug test, you shouldn't be there. But I don't want to let the comrade get in on that because he'll lose his mind. But from an X's and O's standpoint, here's my thing with Dexter Lawrence. He's a first-round NFL draft pick everywhere you look. Okay, he did not have a tackle that he missed this season, which is an amazing stat. An amazing stat. Now, Alabama likes to run the ball between the tackles. So here's going to be the big thing. Huggins is a big guy. He's going to be a third, fourth round pick projected. So it's not like they're just throwing me out there to try to stop the run. I think he's going to play well. But the question, once again, is will he get tired? And his backup, his name escapes me. I want to say it's Bien, but I can't remember his name. But if his backup gets tired, Clemson may be susceptible up the run, to the run, when he gets tired. So, yeah, there's that. But anyway, I think Alabama and Clemson may have some issues with those two guys being out. You don't have them on the field, in addition to the other outside linebackers for Alabama. I think Alabama's secondary, by the way, is suspect. I really do. And a lot of it, they're suspect when they're in zone coverage. They're not suspect when they're in man coverage. If you go and watch some of their stuff, when they're man on man, they can lock on and play. But when they get into a zone, they constantly are looking to the sideline like they don't know what the hell to do. They also get a ton of holding penalties and stuff like that that can really hamper them a good bit. But yeah, that's going to be a big thing in my opinion. I don't think Clemson's going to run the ball much. I think they need to keep them honest and keep trying to wear them down. But you watch tomorrow night, there's going to be a lot of plays for Hunter Renfrow, who has not really had a bad game against Alabama. Hunter Renfrow's stats are so great. I'm going to read you those right now. Let me see here. I've got him right here in front of me. Let's see here. For the past three seasons, he was playing against Minka Fitzpatrick, who's a first-round pick in the draft, and probably one of the better defensive backs to ever come out of Tuscaloosa. Renfrow, in the three previous meetings, combined 22 catches, 211 yards, and four touchdowns. So there you go. I mean, I think that he's going to get a lot of stuff across the middle, 4 and 5 yards down. He's going to be the safety blanket for Trevor Lawrence. And I think Justin Ross is going to be a breakout guy, too. The routes that he run are always the same. It's a simple, basically a post route. He'll start the left side of the line, sprint down straight to the post, and Lawrence throws him the ball. Higgins, on the other hand, he'll do a lot of flag routes and stuff like that. But I think it's going to come down to those three. But the big one, though, is Hunter Renfrow being the security blanket for Trevor Lawrence. Mike?
Well, you know, one thing that Ryan brought up here, he thought the key was Clemson to score early and score fast. I'm wondering what kind of game it's going to be. It's going to be kind of like last year's game. Where it really was a defensive game. It was kind of a game where both offenses didn't do a whole lot. Or it's going to be a game like we've seen all year in college football where it's just up and down the field, you know, and so forth. I think this game, I think both teams may come out a little bit conservative. The big game, maybe some nerves. I think the defense has set the tone early on. I'm curious what the what you feel about the over and under. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game.
I'm looking up the number now as far as the over and under there because I thought we would let the comrade pick with and that was going to be one of my questions to you here. Rodney wants to know why we're not talking about the starting offensive lineman that was suspended for Alabama. That's because the guy that's behind him, they run on a rotation. I don't think it's going to matter much. I really don't. They rotate guys in and out. In fact, the guy that's replacing him was the guy that was starting at the beginning of the season. The guy that played against Clemson last year. You know, it's not to throw things at you there, Rodney. We appreciate you listening, but I don't think it's going to matter much. I really don't. Over and under, let's see here. It opened at 60, Mike, according to VegasInsider.com. And now it's down to 58. The opening line was Alabama minus 7. I've seen it at 4 in some spots. Here it's at 5. Now, I ask you that because explain to people what that means. It's not that Vegas likes Clemson more. I mean, that's just where the money's going, right?
Well, I mean, I understand that Clemson, I mean, Vegas could not set the point spread high enough on Bama games this year. And people, what they were doing was betting first half Bama games, and because Bama would blow out teams in the first half, and Vegas had to keep on raising each week the spread to kind of, because Vegas' jobs get equal money on both sides. And so it's curious that how the line opened, because all the metrics you look at, projection wise, rating wise, Bama's about 2 points better than Clemson. That's what they're listed as. And so normally, now, Vegas goes.
I don't mean to stop you on that, but tell people where you get that number from. I know, but tell people where you get that from.
Okay, I use a lot of Sagarin stuff. There's two things I use: there's Sagarin and another projection website, the Sports Reference site I use, and I tend to average them together, and they give a rating and a projection. And so it's like a 2-point game in terms of Bam over Clemson neutral field. And normally the point spread matches that because Vegas kind of uses those sites as well and how they set things. So, you know, they opened at 6, which tells you the reason why they didn't use that 2-point line was because they felt that everybody in the world will probably take Bama just because they've been doing it all year long. So they set it at 6, and what they got was lots of Clemson money coming in. So they raised them to 4. And so it's just kind of like anything, like the stock market. You're trying to find that right price, that right line where people are betting on equal sides. And so they kind of overestimate a little bit on the Bama thing because they haven't all year long. And so it sits right now about four and a half, five, depending where you look. But, I mean, if I'm betting the game and it's 6, with all the ratings, you got to take Clemson getting 6 points, I'd imagine. Now, one thing I would be worried about, though, and I hate this when the Gamecocks play, is I hate when the public is all on the Gamecocks. Because normally, one of the ways you can bet, if you just did this for a living and said, I'm going to go ahead and bet on the team that Vegas needs to cover, you tend to win money because, as you know, Vegas tends to win more than they lose. And so I like it when the Gamecocks are playing, when I see the public going all on the opposite team, because usually that's a good sign. Not always. So if I'm a Clemson fan, I know some Clemson fans are excited about the point spread going down. That would worry me if I was a Clemson fan, because usually it's a bad sign. Usually you want to be on the opposite side. You want to be on Vegas' side. So, money is coming in on Clemson pretty hard.
According to a site I use called Winners and Winers, just something that I look at because it shows you the betting trends. When it opened at plus 7 and it got it down to 5.5 here, it says 60% of the money, according to this site, is on Alabama to cover. I think a lot of people jumped in when it was seven when it opened because it dropped really quick. Yeah. But I personally, you know, I said last week that I thought that Alabama was the better team, but the more and more I watched, I didn't think Clemson could win. But now the more and more I look at it, if Trevor Lawrence plays well and he stays upright, Clemson's going to be in this game in the fourth quarter. They really are. And with Alabama losing Christian Miller, I think that that is going to hinder them a good bit. I think that Clemson's tempo is going to get to them. And, you know, I don't want to be the guy that's the homer here, but it wouldn't surprise me tomorrow night if Clemson pulled out a win and won their second national championship in three seasons.
It definitely could happen. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and sit there and guarantee a Bama win like some of my Gamecock friends are doing. but I think it's coming down to the wire. I think Bama probably has a little bit too much for Clemson in the end. I think it's a close game, and I think they win maybe late. I think it's kind of like the game, the first game they played against them.
The one where Nick Saban ran the onside kick, which is something he never does.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, a game. I don't think it'll be like last year's game where it was close, but you guys just couldn't move the ball. You know, and you had a hard time blocking him. I think it's going to be pretty even matched up, and I think in the end, I think that Alabama is enough to kind of get by with a win. But, you know, it can go either way, though. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee anything. If I'm betting money on the ball, on the point spread, I'm going to take Clemson with a 4.5. I can see a scenario where the game, it's a field goal game. Other thing to look at, too, is Bama's kicker isn't great. And your kicker's been pretty kind of, you know, not automatic. So that could come down to special teams, too, as whether or not kicking the ball through the field goal. So,
A website called thereviewjournal.com, which is basically a newspaper out in Las Vegas, had a great thing about sharp money, which is – define the term sharp money, Mike. You know what that is, right?
That's people who gamble professionally. Those are the ones – when they come in and lay money down, when the spread opens a lot, they take notice that their line may be off a little bit.
So here's this line from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It says, the Tigers opened as a 6.5-point underdog to the Crimson Tide, but the line dropped to 4.5 at several sportsbook on Friday when a Westgate bettor placed a $60,000 wager on Clemson at +5. Clemson is a smart side on that game, Westgate Sportsbook Director John Murray said. I like Clemson. I think that line should be 3.5 or 4. I've said all year that Clemson's got the players to stick with Alabama. William Hill, the sportsbook director, and Nick something or another, I can't pronounce this guy's name, at Westgate Sports, also thinks the spread is too high and sides with the Tigers. I think Clemson's live is what Bogdanovich says. The way Georgia stood up to Alabama, the line of scrimmage, there's no reason Clemson can't do the same thing. Clemson might have better athletes than Alabama at this stage. And it says, if you look back to last year's game, even though Alabama won 24-6, the Tigers were right there in the second half until a couple of a couple of costly turnovers did the Tigers in. So good stuff there, but I wanted to get the comrades' prediction on that. I think it's gonna be a really close game tomorrow night. I like the under in this thing, though. I think it's gonna be like 27-23, and it's gonna go either way. So I'll take Clemson to cover tomorrow night.
It's funny you said that. We didn't even talk about this before. I got 27-24 at Bama.
Then you've got Clemson covering then.
Yeah, I got Clemson covering, but I think Bama wins by 3. And I think it will come down to just, you know, a lot of things time doing these games like this, red zone offense, red zone defense, which teams get the touchdown, which team gets the field goal. That's a big thing. And, of course, the kickers, too, have not been automatic. So there could be a situation where a team holds another team in the red zone and they go ahead and kick the field goal, which is automatic, and they miss it. that also can demoralize one team too and be a difference. So I kind of look for something like that in those lines. But I got Bama by 3 in a good game.
All right, so there are our picks. And I wanted to bring up one thing from last year's game. The big thing, if you look at that game from last year, Deron Payne picking off a pass from Kelly Bryant and rumbling 21 yards down the field, that was the big thing there. But if you look back at that game last year, and I'm looking at the box score right now, the interesting thing about that game, Clemson loses 24-6. At the half, it's 10-3. Okay, so let's make sure we think about that. Where Alabama beat Clemson was in the third quarter, scoring 14 points there, led by that pickoff, which was a pass I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to make tomorrow. I really don't. But they did the big thing with that. Deron Payne, one-yard pass from Jalen Hurts, and then the interception return by Mack Wilson. The quarterback did Clemson in the game last year. It wasn't all him. I think a lot of it had to do with Travis Etienne. I thought the lights were a little bit too big for him there. Since then, he's put on 20 pounds. I think he can take more of a beating if he needs to. That, and I think that Feaster, they're more confident in what he can do. And hell, Adam Choice should have gotten more carries last year. But if you look at last year's stats, here's the interesting thing on that. Kelly Bryant was 18 of 36 for 124 yards and 2 interceptions. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say right now, Trevor Lawrence will have a better line than that tomorrow night. Also,
be better.
Yeah. Travis Etienne, 4 carries. This is the stat that got me, Mike, and this is why I think this game is going to be different. 4 carries on the night for 22 yards. Now, that's crappy, but I didn't realize this. Kelly Bryant had 19 carries on the night. Trevor Lawrence is not going to have 19 carries tomorrow night. I assure you of that. I think that those 19 carries are going to go to Travis Etienne and Adam Choice and Tavian Feaster. But Clemson only had 33 rushing attempts on the night, 37 passing attempts. So throwing the ball a little bit too much there, in my opinion. But that's the big stat right there. The 2 picks for Kelly Bryant, and Kelly Bryant making the wrong decision, in my opinion, and tucking and going with 19 carries. I completely forgot about that. That's not going to happen tomorrow night. All right.
Well, yep. The one thing, too, that last year's game is a good game to look at, and both teams have better quarterbacks this year in terms of throwing the ball. I mean, last year, it was before Tua made his big explosion in the scene, the national title game, and, of course, Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. So the different dynamics, now you've got 2 quarterbacks playing tomorrow night who are better throwers and better quarterbacks. But as we saw in the Georgia game, if Tua gets hurt or his ankle gets turned up again, you know, Jalen Hurts is capable of leading the comeback and doing so. But it's an interesting dynamic of the 2 quarterbacks of Tua and Lawrence playing, the difference in how they can throw the ball now as opposed to last year where the passing game wasn't there. And, of course, in the game you won, a lot of reason why you won that game against Bama was the fact that you had Deshaun Watson who could make the throws, and Jalen Hurts was not a guy.
Well, how about having could, Mike know, Williams, who was catching passes in the NFL today? I mean, but, you know, but, 6'5".
But Jalen Hurts wasn't a great guy sending the field down there, and that kind of hurt Bama. So we'll see kind of how it plays out tomorrow with those quarterbacks.
Well, here's another stat that is interesting to me. Last year, Alabama had 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, which that's pretty impressive. Of Clemson's 70 plays that they had last year, which is a hell of a lot less than what they try to get with the tempo set that they go with, 9 of them went for a loss. That is brutal. Now, Clemson, on the other hand, Alabama got sacked the most last year by Clemson in this game with 2 sacks, and they had 5 tackles for loss. So the Clemson D-line last year got to the Alabama quarterback, and I think they'll be able to get to him again. I mean, if you look, just look, I mean, you got the same guys back. Austin Bryant, Cleland Farrell, those guys are back. They've gotten sacks and tackles for loss against this team.
On a shocking
and I think that's what's going to do the job, in my opinion. So, good stuff there, Mike. I appreciate you breaking down that game with me. And before we get out of here tonight, Cock basketball team, they were down at Florida. And since we do talk hoops here, yep, they were down a lot in that game, and they came back and got the win. I honestly can say I did not watch one play of that game. I was doing family stuff. It's my wife's birthday, but I did see the highlights. It was like a buzzer beater with Chris Silva. I mean, it's a good win for the Gamecocks, but maybe Florida's terrible. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a great win. I mean, they were 14-point underdogs going in. So,
yeah, well, interesting, I mean, stuff there. You know, Frank Martin's been preaching all through our struggles that really it doesn't start until conference play begins, which kind of is true, but I thought he was trying to kind of sell the idea of, you know, don't bury us yet. And I was really worried that you start off in conference 0-3 and suddenly the season is over. So on the 9-1, start the game off. I forgot his name now. The freshman forward hit 3 threes in a row, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding, you know, this game's gonna be over. And I got down. End of the half, we made a big run and closed within 2. We're down by 4 at the half, and I thought, okay, we're gonna fight back, we're in the game. Florida comes out in the second half, and we're down by like 11 after I blink. And I give them credit, they came back, Sonny Graham had a great game. Kotsar had a big game in the boards. It's good that he's back from his concussion. And they just kept on fighting and fighting. I think Florida didn't do a great job putting us away. I think Florida felt the game was kind of over before it was, and they kind of got a little bit sloppy, and we kind of got hot and got back into it. And they made a great play. Felipe Hase with his pass to Silva. You know, the defense, I don't know what they were thinking, but it was a great pass to Silva. Silva went up there and dunked it in there at the buzzer with like 1 second left for the win. So it's a big win because, you know, now we get a little confidence to come home on Tuesday playing against a good Mississippi State team. And, you know, that's been a tough game to win. But the Gamecocks have finally win that game and start off 2-0 and beating a ranked Mississippi State team and a Florida team on the road. Then maybe they can turn things around a little bit. We still miss Justin Manaea. He's not back to, you know, close to being back yet. They're saying maybe 2 or 3 more games, but I don't think that's going to happen. And so they got to play really well. So Tuesday night's game, I'm trying to get this 9 o'clock game. I'm going to try to get to it, but I have to kind of rework a few things here with Ben. I might get there a little bit late, actually, so I'm trying to figure I'm going to get down there to watch that game. So hopefully we can kind of get things going. So we'll see.
Well, Clemson went up to Duke and got hammered. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. Zion Williamson throwing passes off the ceiling and just dunking them hard. I mean, I think Duke's at a completely different level. If you look at Clemson,
They're just fun to watch play. You know, it's not many college teams nowadays that have that much talent. I mean, Kentucky does it sometimes too, but a lot of times Kentucky's talent, they're really young and they take a while to gel together. This Duke team hasn't had that really the issue. They look like they're ready to play since day one. So they're fun to watch play. I like the idea you have a team like Duke because it's kind of, they're the team that we're going to target on now, and everyone's kind of predicting they're going to win the national championship. And I think it makes it interesting in March to see if a team can come knock them off. But they're unreal. They really are good.
They really are, and there's not much I can say about them because they just beat the crap out of us. I think winning at Cameron Indoor, even when Clemson has a great team, they don't play well at Cameron Indoor. We had one year where we got screwed on the clock where apparently you can dribble 4 times and go up the court in 1.4 seconds. Did you know you could do that in 1.4 seconds? At Cameron Indoor, you can do that. We got screwed in the game there. Also, we can't play well at North Carolina. We will never win there in my existence. It's just not going to happen. And by the way, the day that we win at North Carolina, I will not do this podcast anymore. I will not do it. Write that down. Well, but Clemson will play
Syracuse. We have a long history then of the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. It's not going to happen. Clemson will play Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. Not an easy place to win. But I think that Clemson can do a couple of little things that might keep them in that game. I think they won at the Carrier Dome last year, if I remember correctly. I don't remember. Don't quote me on that. But
they won last year, the year before. And then they won there. I forgot it was last year. They have won there before.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, and I'm not trying to ride the ACC nuts here, but you go on the road to Duke, then you go on the road to Syracuse. And then what do you get for your home opener in ACC play on Saturday? You just get to play Virginia. I mean, it is tough, tough, tough. But that's what you get. They have to do that and then go from there. But I think if Clemson can pick up a win over Syracuse, the latest projections from Bracketology has Clemson as they're one of the last four. Not the last four in, but one up from that. So losing it on the road at Duke doesn't really hurt you much, but if they could pick up a win over Syracuse and hang with Virginia, after that the schedule kind of lightens up a little bit. Not really. You got Georgia Tech at home. I think Clemson will win that game. Florida State on the road. Florida State is tough. NC State, they're a tough team. Pitt is playing a lot better. Wake Forest is trash. Then you got Virginia Tech. They're not exactly light years good this year. Louisville's rebuilding. But I've got a bet with Cale Hall, our buddy. He doesn't think Clemson's going to win four conference games in the ACC. Yeah, I think Clemson's going to finish 8-8 in conference. I really do. And they'll be on the fringe of going to the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament. Did the Gamecock women win today, Mike? I don't know.
Yes, they did. They beat Bama. We can really beat Bama. They beat Bama in a tough game, kind of eked it out there. So we're 2-0 in conference. The ladies are men are 1-0.
The Clemson women won over Virginia 71-65. Amanda Butler is doing her thing up there at Clemson. I don't know if Virginia Tech is ranked or not, Todd. I got to do some more research on Virginia Tech. But the Clemson women up there, Amanda Butler is doing her job. Last season, I think the Clemson women finished like, I think they won one conference game last year, if I remember right. And it was so late in the year, and everybody was so happy about it. Now it's like people look and they're like, hey, you know what? We may win more than one conference game. I mean, if you just look at the difference from last season, this Tiger basketball team, Lady Tigers are playing a lot better. Last year, let's see here, they beat Boston College in January, and that was their only conference win of the season. I'm not saying this team's going to make the playoffs or make the tournament, but they might make the WNIT, and they're going to be a hell of a lot better than 1-15 in the conference. So good job to the Lady Tigers. Tomorrow night, make sure you come out and see me at Callaway's out in West Columbia. I'll be doing a little turn Callaway's orange tomorrow night as I set the show up there. Break down everything with the Clemson's chances against Alabama. I'll have all that set up for you at Callaway's. Come by and have a beer with me, Cheddar Bob, Mike Muse, Billy Muse. Lots of Gamecock Bama coots there. Don't get me wrong. There are going to be plenty of Alabama fans there or fake Alabama fans there giving me the business tomorrow night at Callaway's. So come by and check that out. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. You don't know where it is, message me on Facebook or on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. I will let you know. Mike, you got anything else for the show?
I will grudgingly wish you good luck tomorrow night. I know it's a big deal, playing for the national title. Best of luck. Hope everyone stays healthy. It's a good game, and hopefully Bama pulls it out.
Go Tigers. With that, the show's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at The Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.